Quick question. When was the last time that you actually looked at your website and thought, this is really working for me? If the answer is you're not sure, don't worry because you're not alone. Most therapists have a website, but they don't actually know what's helping it to convert, what might be confusing potential clients, and what might actually be turning people away. That's exactly why a website audit is so helpful because it can give you a clear outside perspective on what's actually happening when someone lands on your website. So I'm hosting a live website audit workshop April 17th, where I will walk you through what to look for, look at your website live, talk about what to fix, and how to make your website actually work for you. To learn more and sign up, head to the show notes to register. Now, onto the episode. You're listening to the Raise to Empower podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Comegys, a licensed clinical social worker with a multi-state online therapy practice. I have a passion for empowering women and mom therapists to break free of the fear, overwhelm, and oppressive systems that hold them back from taking action and building the private practice of their dreams. My goal is for you to boldly believe in yourself as a clinician and business owner. If you're looking for a place to learn practice building strategy and skill while also claiming your own power as a woman and a therapist, then you're in the right place. Welcome to the show. Welcome to this week's episode of the Raise to Empower podcast. I'm joined today by my guest, Dara Sklar. Dara helps small businesses get and stay organized so they run more efficiently. She's the friend you call for tech help. Excited to jump in and show you time-saving tips you'll wish you knew sooner. Dara, I'm so excited to have you on the show today and to get a chance for listeners to learn from you.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me. It's really always exciting to be able to come and talk to new audiences. And I know your audience of therapists is a group that needs help in the digital organization realm.
100%. And many of my listeners are moms on top of being therapists. And so for us outside of business, organization is key, awesome. But it can feel really overwhelming to like create systems or create organization, but we know we need it. So having someone like you who were like, okay, just tell me what to do. How do I do this? So I don't have to like think of one more thing is so invaluable.
Awesome.
So I know today we are going to be talking about, you know, practical tips around like Gmail and Google Workspace, things that are going to help us with either organizing or reducing kind of that digital clutter. Before we kind of get into kind of the tips or the how-tos, can you share with listeners, how did you get into this space? Like, is organization something you've always been interested in, or is this one of those things where sometimes like stuff kind of like finds us? We're like, oh, I didn't know this was something I'm good at and other people can learn from it.
I think it's really a kind of combination of those things because really I've just been an entrepreneur my whole life. Like I've been like, you know, I didn't give you this version of the bio, but one of my versions of my bios is like from selling kisses to her parents at the age of six. Cause I literally was like selling kisses to my parents when I was 6 years old. Like I've always been entrepreneurial. And so I've always been looking at things like in the sense of how can I make money from this? Or how can I turn this into a business? And when I was in my mid 20s, I started my own business and, you know, went through a huge amount of learning curves as anyone does when they're like a sole proprietor, you know, made a whole bunch of mistakes, hired assistants, fired assistants. And in creating my business, you know, realized that I had obviously like the skill that I was selling to the public, but then I also had the skills of like being organized behind the scenes. And I didn't realize that and my like the speed that I would navigate on a computer, like I would sit beside a client, they would be like, whoa, how'd you do that so fast? And I didn't realize that that was something that was unusual.
Yeah.
And when it came time for me to transition and I wanted to go into creating online courses, the entrepreneur part of my brain was like, okay, what do people need? Like not necessarily, like what do people want and what do I have? And I kept trying to find the thing. And it actually wasn't until I slapped Google as a label on it, because I've always wanted to tell people how to be better organized. I'm the person, I'm like the Monica Geller who like walks in and like straightens your shower curtain and like, it's like laughably compulsive, but like genuinely, I can always see how people could be doing things better. But then that's not a character trait that a lot of people want. They don't want to be told what to do unless they're
Yeah.
paying you. And so then, so I actually created a couple of courses before the one that took off. And the second to last one was about digital, it was like digital mastery or something. And it was, organizing your Dropbox. And like people just weren't buying it. And then as soon as I started talking about Gmail and Google Drive, they're like, oh my God, my Gmail's a mess. Oh, my Google Drive is cluttered. And that was when I realized that even though it wasn't specifically like I hadn't been specifically trained in it, I had been using those tools in my business that I created, 10, 15 years before, and been using it with an assistant and virtual assistants. And like I had all of these skills that I didn't realize that were so invaluable. And so then I put the course together. So I know that's a bit of a long story, but really it's like everyone's journey is not, no one's journey is a straight line, especially not in entrepreneurship. And so for me, it was like the part of my brain that kept thinking, okay, how can I make people want something? How can I find the thing that they're willing to pay for? What can I bring or pull out of myself that's going to be like successful? Because isn't that what we all, if we're in business, that's what we're aiming for. So yeah, that's my backstory.
Well, and I'll highlight something that we were talking about before we hit record, and I think, speaks to what you were just sharing, but also I think is helpful for listeners to hear because a lot of us that are therapists, that are mom therapists or women therapists, we are also a lot of us looking at how do I expand outside of just one-on-one therapy? And one of the things that you were talking about was that, like, I didn't know that people don't know this thing, right? And that I've had that experience where, I'm like, oh, like, does somebody really need this information? And then you start sharing it with them because you think it's just kind of like common knowledge. And then they're like, oh my goodness, yes, this is so helpful. This is something that I need. Teach me how to do this or tell me what to do, which is so much, I think, what the information you're providing is like, here's how we can do this. Here's how we can make this more efficient. And you don't know that people don't know this until you kind of start talking about it. So I say that to highlight that that is a common experience you and I have shared, but that if there's other people listening to this that like lean into that, that you may be surprised. People don't know what you think you think they know, but
Yeah,
they don't.
listen to that. And I can like pinpoint moments in time where I was sitting and having a realization that somebody didn't know something. And I had a friend over and we're sitting and we're drinking wine and we're talking about, our respective businesses. And I showed her how in Chrome, you can make Chrome ask you where you're going to save the file instead of just dumping it in the downloads. Cause she's like, my downloads is so out of control. And I was like, oh, well, why aren't you filing the stuff as it comes in? She was like, what do you mean? I was like, well, here, you change this in settings and you say, ask me where to save the downloads. She was like, I had no idea you could do that. And like, I mean, I remember this. This is like 2016. This is a long time ago. And it is still stuck in my brain because a light bulb went off for me. Oh, if this is something that's so simple and it's going to change how she does things, she's not the only person. And of course, then it's like, how do you package it so that somebody wants to pay you to learn these things? Because of course, it's not like the information isn't out there. It's just it needs to be packaged in a way where you're ready to receive it, basically.
So as we're kind of transitioning into kind of talking about like, okay, so what does this look like, right? Like trying to declutter our digital, footprint or, the digital clutter we have in our inbox or in our Google Drive. What do you find? Like, are most people coming to you saying, help me to set this up from the get-go? Or are most people like me being like, oh my gosh, I have this mess. Help me fix
Yeah, I would
this.
say like 90% of people have the mess, maybe even 95% of the people have the mess and want to be better and also don't want to have to go through the pain of cleaning it up. Like if you could burn it all down but still keep everything. So one of the biggest things as I was putting the course content together for the course that I teach, one of the biggest epiphanies that I had was people actually just need permission to not clean up the past while they create a better system for themselves. And so I think I'm going to actually just start our conversation around this by saying to your whole audience, if you have an inbox that's out of control, or you have a Google Drive that's full of clutter, or even just your desktop is scattered with icons, whatever it is that's like, ugh, this is bothering me, but I'll get to it later. What if you just, because it's digital files, it's not like it's actual physical anything. What if you just grabbed it all and stuffed it in a corner? Like, what if you took all the icons on your desktop and then you made a folder and you called it today's date and, today's date and the word desktop, and then you just grabbed all those icons and tossed it in the folder and now you have a clean desktop. And now you also have the opportunity to stop doing it that way, maybe change your download settings in Chrome or whatever. And what if you also just decided, okay, here's how I want to live my life moving forward, as opposed to being burdened by changing the past before you can move forward. It's not like therapy.
Right. No, but like it is in some ways, though. Yeah.
Yeah. And then in terms of like your inbox, okay, well, what if you looked at your inbox and like I literally have tutorials that walk you through this, but like what if you
Yeah.
looked at your inbox that and you said, oh gosh, these 20 emails on the first page and these 5 emails on the second page and the 3 on the next page, and you just go through like a month's worth of emails and you identify all the things that still need your attention and you put them into a little folder and then you take everything else and just archive it all. I'm talking in Gmail terms because
Yeah.
archiving doesn't delete anything. It just puts it into your all mail where you can go and search, and we're going to talk about that in a bit. And then you just take everything that you like tucked away and you bring it back to the inbox, and now your inbox has 30 emails instead of 10,000, and it
Yeah.
feels doable and you're more likely to get to things. You're less likely to let things slip through the cracks. Maybe you're more inclined to unsubscribe from things as they come in or archive things more aggressively because you're like, I don't really need to see this Old Navy ad today,
Yeah.
but rather than letting it accumulate with everything else, because why not? It's already a mess.
Sure.
So you just, you can pinpoint these places that where you can create a clean slate for yourself, and then you do a better job afterwards. And like we're always constantly improving ourselves, right? The how we
Sure.
do, ideally, we're always doing things better the next time around. And so, okay, well, then it accumulates and it gets cluttered, and now you have 1,000, but it's not 10,000. And now it's
Yeah.
easier because you've actually been a bit more on top of it. And then you do it again, and you're like, okay, I'm going to be better at it this time. And you just kind of keep doing it like that. And
Yeah.
the permission to not have to, I mean, I've worked with people who insist, I mean, it drives me crazy, but they insist on going back in time and like going through old emails. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, you've been collecting emails for 20 years. What do you think you're going to find in here? Like, is there some
Right.
kind of like pot of gold that I don't know about that's in the email archives? But,
Yeah.
some people just insist on it. And I would say, like, that's like the 0.1%. But most people could just, take an hour and like, I do the same thing in Google Drive when I recommend,
Yeah.
like, take all the loose files, every single thing that's loose, and put it in a loose files folder. And then it's beautiful and clean. And then as things accumulate, you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to file them because, or you just dump more things in loose files, but like it just looks better.
Yeah.
You feel less disorganized. And that in and of itself makes a massive difference to how people
Yeah.
continue to let things go, because like there's that perpetual, oh well, there's a pile of papers, I'll just put more one more paper on top.
Right.
And people do the same thing with digital clutter.
Right. So do you recommend then at some point taking time to go back into that folder, right? Like let's use the desktop analogy where let's clear it all off, put today's date, we put it in that folder. Do you recommend like taking the time? 'Cause if I were to do that today, like I know there's stuff I'm gonna need from that folder, but also like you said, I don't need to spend time burdening myself with certain things that like don't need me to do that.
Yeah, you'll fall down a rabbit hole when you start looking at screenshots and, should I delete this? Where should I file this? Also becomes like a big decision. So what I would
Yeah.
say is the second part to doing that big declutter is then creating a system that you want to use moving forward. So for example, if there are things, let's say you take screenshots of testimonials. So you have these testimonial screenshots, but they're commingled with screenshots from tech support and screenshots from that funny thing you sent a friend, and it's all just mixed together. Well, then make a folder called testimonials. And even though you've dumped everything into that folder, maybe one day you're like, I'm going to go mining through there and find all the testimonials and pull them out and put them where they belong.
Sure.
And moving forward, I'll put the testimonials when I take those screenshots where they belong. And then you just keep doing that when you realize that there's a category of something that you could store in a better way. So what, in the Google Drive example, or in the Google Drive example is a good one because we store a lot more in Google Drive than we do presumably on our desktops. So you toss all those loose files into that folder, and then you might create a folder structure that's like personal, admin, all the different categories that
Yeah.
people tend to have in their businesses, clients, and then you start creating the folder structure that makes sense with your brain, which is going to be different for
Sure.
everybody. And then every time you need something that's in those loose files, you go into the loose files and you pull them into where it belongs. But you still keep, you don't go, my opinion, and again, everybody's brain works differently, but you don't have to comb through
Yeah.
all of the things. You just have to go looking for the thing that you do need and put it where it belongs. So it's
Yeah.
like, because there's statistics out there, it's like 80 to 90% of the files that you create you never need again, but we all hoard them, and that's like I'm
Right.
a 100% a digital hoarder. Like there's no
Yeah.
question. So all you have to do is not delete them and know where to find them. And if it's just behind one more door, but it makes you feel better, then it's all, like all the power to you for having put it in that loose files folder.
Right. I mean, like, it's so funny you talk about like being a digital hoarder. Like, I'm 99% sure I have, and maybe I have taken it off my desktop at this point. Maybe it's on an external hard drive, but like, I have papers still from grad school that like I probably never look at them again, but I just can't.
But you put so much effort into
Yeah,
them. Like, yeah.
exactly. So I don't want to like fully get rid of them, but yeah. Well, and I think to something you said stuck with me, where I think it is important for listeners to remind themselves and to maybe take in where you said your system of organization is going to look different than mine. Like how I categorize things is going to be different than how you do it or somebody else. And I think that's really important because it can feel like, well, what am I supposed to do? Or I'm
Yeah.
doing it wrong. But it from what you're describing, it doesn't sound like there's a wrong way to do it. It's just how do we make this basically create a system that makes sense for us.
Yeah. And then, so you bring up a really great next point that I wanted to share. But before I do that, I want to say that one of the things that I like to teach is my own thought process, because how my brain decides to organize things is not the same as how your brain would decide to organize things. But I'll explain to you why I'm choosing to do it my way. And then you can extract what made sense to you. And what I always emphasize is we're working our way backwards. So why do we file something? It's so that we can find it later. So how can we, and this is like every time you make a decision as to where to put something, it's like, where would I have put that thing? And then you make sure that that's the system that you create. And obviously, if you work in a bigger organization or with a bigger team, then you need to make sure that it makes sense for everyone. But so many of us, and I'm sure within, with you have having therapists as clients, like there's a lot of individual people. So it's a lot of people who it's like, it's basically just them. So you're the priority, right? But you're basically trying to think, where is future me going to come looking for the thing that I'm dealing with right now? And if you start thinking about it from that perspective, and you start thinking, okay, well, if the purpose of continuing to own this document or file is to find it in future, if I need it, what do I need to name it in order to find it in the future? Or where do I need to store it, or both? And that's where it comes around to what Google is best for, which is search. So Google, obviously, we know it as a search engine, but it also gives us Gmail and Google Drive and other accessories that are all have very robust search built in. And so with Google
Interesting.
Drive, when you look at what the advanced search options are, you realize, oh, if I just name this file thoroughly, then I can find it by typing in certain keywords to a search bar, or dropping down the advanced search and saying, oh, well, I want all, slide decks that have this word. If I were to come into a presentation to your group, I would create a slide deck, and the slide deck would have the title of my presentation, plus your name, plus my name, plus the date that I did it. And all of those things would help me find it very quickly in the future if I was looking for it, no matter where it is in my Google Drive. So for me, the priority is naming it, even if it lives in loose files forever, name it appropriately, I can find it. And the same thing goes with email. If I let everything live in my inbox, then I spend all my time scrolling through, and let's say I'm thinking about taxes right now. So I'm like in the middle of like starting to do my personal taxes for last year. And if I had not labeled my incoming emails throughout last year and the beginning of this year with 2023 taxes, it would stop me from doing my taxes. That's how daunting that task would be. But I'm creating something by labeling those specific emails as they come in, where I can, it's an accumulation where I can find it. All I have to do is look in that for that label. Or it could be something as simple as I'm taking a course from someone, but I've been on their email list for years and they send me marketing emails, but I want all of the emails specifically for this course. Well, I can highlight those by labeling them relating to the course.
Interesting.
Within Gmail has the most robust search of the Google search
Yeah.
capabilities because you can keep layering more so than Google Drive does. So within Gmail, you can search for something that has it's before a certain date or after and or after a certain date. It could be from someone or contains a certain word or has an attachment that's a certain size. It could have a label. Like you can add all of those things to a search.
Yeah.
So what I often find myself doing is searching for one word and then adding another word and then adding another criteria until I find the thing that I want. And the confidence, this is what the thing that I said I was going to be leading us to, which is
Yeah.
the confidence in searching makes me comfortable archiving absolutely everything that I don't need to take action on because I know I can find it. Because I'm
Yeah.
comfortable and confident in how I can search. And the same thing goes with Google Drive. With one caveat on the Google Drive side of things, which is if you have multiple Google accounts, you want to make sure that you kind of don't commingle where you're saving things in Google Drive, because of course, search won't work if you haven't saved it in
Sure.
the right account. And so, one thing that if your listeners don't already know about Chrome profiles, is you can actually have a separate Chrome profile for each one of your Google accounts, and you can set it up to synchronize so all of your bookmarks or passwords or like everything gets saved in the cloud. And if your laptop gets stolen or dies or you
Yeah.
move to a different computer, all of that stuff comes with you. But having the separate Chrome profiles also for my purposes, for example, I'm a volunteer treasurer for a not-for-profit. Well, when I do the work for the treasurer, I don't want it to be commingled
Right.
with my business or my personal. So I open the Chrome profile and then everything is there and I do the work. And then when I'm done with it, I close it. And so it also helps me with my I'm not sure if what the word, oh, I guess it's like I call it wearing different hats. I'm sure there's a much
That's what
more.
I was thinking. Like, it's like you're putting on a different hat. Yeah.
Exactly. So it helps me as well not have too many open loops like all day long by having, oh,
Sure.
these tabs belong to this thing and these tabs belong to this thing and constantly flipping around. It's like I'm working on this now, so I open this profile and now I'm done and then I close it. So it actually
Yeah.
keeps my attention a little bit more focused, but it also makes sure that I don't mix up my Google Drive files, which was my whole point.
Yeah. Well, and I know that like I have different email like accounts for different businesses, or there was a Gmail account that I started when I first started my practice that I don't really use anymore, but it still, is linked to certain things, or I'll buy a course or I'll download something and it ends up in like the wrong Google Drive. And so listening to you talk about how creating a, like you said, almost like a different hat for the specific ones, I think could definitely help keep it a little bit more streamlined if it starts to get out of hand, it sounds like.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just, I think, coming back around to people don't know what they don't know. A lot of people
Right.
will like sign into a second Google account and it'll say, and you'll get this pop-up if you're in Chrome and it says, do you want to switch to a different Chrome profile? And in a panic, people say yes or no, and they don't understand. But all it is like each Chrome profile, as long as it's synchronized, is attached to its own Google account. And so, and like other useful examples, like I hired a virtual assistant. And so I set up an email account for her and a Chrome profile for her. And then I put all of the bookmarks for her. And I was actually able to log in and add more bookmarks for her, or, and then when I let her go, which I did eventually, then it was really easy for me also to like see what she'd been working on,
Sure.
like delete that Chrome profile when I deleted her email account. It's just an interesting, like, because it synchronizes. So even if sometimes I'll do work for a client and I'll sign into their account on my computer. Well, I sign in under a Chrome profile specific for
Yeah.
that client, and then I can see all their bookmarks. But it also helps with like two-factor authentication. That's a little bit more advanced than anything that you probably are encountering, but it's just a really nice way to segment, basically.
We've all been told we need to network in our private practice, but no one actually tells us how to do it or what to say. Enter Comprehensive Connecting, effective scripts that expand your networking community and actually fill your online practice. This free guide will give you effective scripts to connect with fellow clinicians, medical professionals, and community stakeholders to build strong networking relationships that will help fill your practice. In this guide, you will get tips and tricks for building relationships that will lead to referrals in your practice, real-life examples of messages used to connect with referral sources, and customizable plug-and-send scripts for your specific practice needs. So download your free scripts guide today by going to bit.ly/compconnecting. One of the things actually I talked about on a recent episode was, you know, outsourcing and, you know, when do we, you know, need to outsource or when do we need to hire a VA? And I know that that was something that, you know, has been being talked about by a lot of therapists now, like, I just need some extra support. So where you're talking about, let's create these systems or let's create, you know, let's start from scratch, right? And start something new. Do you recommend if someone's saying, okay, I'm going to bring somebody in to help in my business, having the VA kind of set it up for them or do it themselves?
I think it really depends on the caliber of VA that you hire, because I know, and I've worked with, you know, before I was teaching courses, I was doing a lot of administrative work for real estate agents. And I did that for a dozen or so years with the assistance of some assistants. And it was shocking to me the things, and this, you know, comes also back around to the things that we assume people get and they don't. It was shocking to me how disorganized they were until I gave them a system to be organized in. And so it depends on your personality. If you are a hot mess and you have no desire to even try to streamline things within your business, then hire someone who has that as one of their qualities and make sure you pay attention as they show you what they've done, because otherwise they could come and clean and reorganize your house and then you're like, I don't know where anything is.
Right,
you don't want
right.
that to happen. On the other hand, I am much as somebody who is relatively particular and has a sense of what I want, I would rather set up the system and tell them how I want them to keep maintaining it.
Yeah.
And then I don't have to find someone who has that quality, because I think a lot of VAs, depending again on who you're hiring, and if you're hiring overseas, you're hiring sometimes task doers, not system builders, unless you're going out and hiring like an OBM, in which case it's a whole other thing. But a lot of VAs, especially at a lower price point, are just box checkers, like procedure followers. And there's no, that's not even meant to sound like a criticism. It's simply just a fact. And then you use them for what they're good at, which is getting something done for you, but you have to tell them how to do it, not tell them what to do. Like, you don't tell them just the outcome. You tell them the outcome and the steps, and that can fall. I think that also encompasses the file management and stuff like that.
Well, and I also think to that point too, that again, there's not a right or wrong way necessarily to do this. You have to figure out what works best for you. But I'm always a big advocate that, like, if I, you know, in something that I outsource, if that person wasn't there anymore, what happens to that? Like, if, like you said, if someone comes in and organizes my whole house, but they don't tell me how it's done, and I come in, I'm like, I can't find anything. I don't know where my spoons are or my plates are. That's not going to, like, that work was great. My house may look okay, but I can't function in it. Same thing in our business, you know, whether it is Google Drive or Gmail or website, right? Like, if you have somebody else
or
do
Canva
this
or some,
if you have somebody else do this for you, that's great. But you need to also learn what is the system now. Teach me what you did. You can continue to run the thing. You can continue to keep my email organized, but I need to know what the system is, because, like, you know, you talk about creating tags and how we label things. If the VA has a system, but we don't know, then we can't go in and search for that stuff when we need it either.
Totally. And the number one priority for me when I've hired in the past has always been continuity. And whether that's continuity from person who works the night to person who works in the morning, or from me who fills in the gap all the time. And I always instilled, if, like, let's say we were designing something in Photoshop, well, don't just send me the JPEG, send me the Photoshop file, so that if the client asks for a change, I have access at all times to where you left off. And so I suppose another piece of advice just in general for bringing on assistants is, at the end of their shift, they should budget, you know, 20 or 30 minutes to make sure that they have like all of their working files, all of the things that they're doing are somewhere that you can pick up where they left off if it becomes necessary.
Yeah.
And when I first actually hired, I know this is a bit of a tangent, when I first hired my first VA, I hired through an agency. And the agency was affiliated with a website company that I did a lot of work for. So the person was kind of trained on how those websites worked. They were websites for realtors. So it was really helpful because I hired someone who came with a very specific skill set. But the interesting thing about how that all worked was they filled in a form at the end of every day. And it was like, they called it the 515. I was like, I can't remember what it stood for. It had to do with 15 minutes, but it was like basically just outlining what they had done over the course of the day. And we just had this record for like years while that person worked. I eventually hired her like away from the agency, but it
Yeah.
was such an interesting thing and smart thing for a VA agency to have was like at the end of every day, there was a summary. And it was searchable. So then I could go in and I could search for keywords or client names. And then we could
Yeah.
actually see historically like a log of what had like a, you know, because it's the day,
Yeah.
so you're like you can kind of remember what's been done. So that was really an interesting and helpful thing that that we did for a little while.
Yeah. Well, and probably it created a level of continuity that, again, like you could have clarity on like what is being done, what still needs done, where are you picking up, where am I picking up for
Yeah, I mean, I do
sure.
think like project management software is better for that overall, but in that circumstance, it was like reassuring to me because I had never let go before. And so that was really helpful.
Yeah.
There's something else that I wanted to mention that you brought up when you're in terms of hiring other people, which is if I just want to make sure that everyone in the world knows this, when you are using Google Drive and you create a folder, if someone else drops files into those folders, so let's say I create a folder and I share that folder with you and you put your stuff into that folder, or you create a folder and I put my headshot into that folder for this podcast. So I've given you the file in your Google Drive that you shared with me, but I own the file. So if you collaborate with someone or you work with someone, if they put files into your Google Drive, they still are the owners of that file. And so what I want to suggest to anybody who has worked in that scenario before of sharing a folder that other people have contributed to, or even if you've gone and hired a VA and the VA is using their own Gmail address, I would urge you to audit your Google Drive to make sure that anything that you would hate to lose is owned by you. So let's say you hire someone to do social media and they did all kinds of graphics and they put all these things and imagine they went and deleted their Google account. Well, all of those
Wow,
files would
that would all be
disappear. It
gone.
would all be gone. So what you can do in the advanced search inside of Google Drive is you can actually choose the owner. So you can audit your whole Google Drive, and I'll tell you, it's two steps. It's you choose not owned by me, and where it lives is my drive. So you make sure that it's not like all locations, it's my drive. So
Yeah.
not owned by me and my drive. And that will tell you everything that is in your Google Drive that you don't own. You can also do a specific search for a specific person. So if you hired a specific VA who now no longer works for you, or you just want to make sure that the stuff that that person has dropped into your Google Drive that you own it, is you can actually search by a specific owner. So you can
Okay.
say is owned by, and then you would type in that person's email address or name, and it should then give you everything that they own. Again, make sure you choose My Drive because shared with me, that's always going to be other people anyway. So you want to choose My Drive as the second selection in
Yeah.
that search. And if you find stuff, and this actually happened to me, thankfully nothing bad happened when I finally realized it, but it was like, I was actually in the middle of so meta and ironic that I was creating a course about Google Drive and I was sending the videos off to be edited and I had opened all of the folders on my Google Drive to the video editor and like every time I would place an order on Fiverr I would say and then drop the file into this
Yeah.
folder and he would, but then they belonged to him. So if he had closed his Google account, then if I hadn't
Yeah.
made my own copy. So the solution is you go and you literally just make a copy of that file. And then it doesn't matter what they do. And you don't have, it doesn't take up space in your own drive when someone owns a file. So in
Oh,
my video
okay.
editor, the example with my video editor, he was dropping these massive files into my Google Drive. So even when I copied it, it wasn't taking up twice as much space. It's taking up one amount of space on my account and one amount of space on
Okay.
his account. And then I could even just remove the one that he had from my account
Yeah.
because removing something doesn't delete it. All it does
Okay.
is removes it from you being able to see it. If you still had a link to it somewhere, you would still be able to see it. And then if he ever deletes it, I mean, this has been years now,
Sure.
that he's been dropped, he had dropped all this stuff. Like, probably at some point he's like, oh my God, the storage, I don't want to pay for this.
Right.
And he might have gone through and decluttered, and then I would have been SOL.
Yeah. No, I'm so glad. Like, that is so important to know. I mean, my podcast, I host, like, not I host it on, my Google Drive, but that's where my
All the
editor and
files
I
are.
have like all of our stuff. And so, yeah, now I'm like, okay, I need to go back through and make sure
Yeah,
that
and
I
it's
have
not
ownership of like all of the original episodes.
exactly. And it's not because you don't trust your editor. It's just that,
No,
like,
not at
what if something
all.
happens? Like, you would go and you would say, oh, well, here are the episodes from years past. Well, I might as
Right.
well just make sure that these copies all belong to me. And I'll just give you one other little tip is when you do make that copy, go into the folder when you make the copy. Because if you make a copy from the search result, it just dumps the copy into your primary drive and it doesn't file
Okay.
it properly. So go folder
Yeah.
by folder. And one more thing, which is just speaking of like storage capacity, is a lot of people think, oh, I've got to comb through and delete stuff because I'm reaching a limit. And if you're on just a like plain Gmail account, which like almost everybody has like regular Gmail in
Yeah.
addition to maybe Workspace, but like anybody, with plain Gmail account, the free one that most people use, it's only $20 a year to upgrade your storage from 15 gigabytes to 100 gigabytes. And I will say that like your time is worth so much more than the $20 that it's going to cost
Right.
to just up your storage. So rather than being like, oof, I'm reaching a limit and I don't want to have to pay the $20 and don't
Yeah.
waste your time, because really it's going to just be a case of whack-a-mole, because you're constantly going to be increasing.
Yeah.
How many years did it take me to get to 15? A lot. And then I started
Right.
syncing my phone to Google Photos and then it like jumped up significantly. You know what? My time is worth way more than the $20. And even when I doubled it to the 200 gigabyte storage, it was like, I mean, I'm in Canada, so it's like $28 a year Canadian, or I think it ended
Yeah.
up being $40 a year when I doubled it. And so it's going to be like somewhere under $40, even for 200 gigabytes. Like, all I'm trying to say
Which
is,
is crazy.
well, and it's such a small amount of money. So just
Right.
pay, flip the little switch to annual, save yourself the 16% or whatever that you save by paying annually. Just resign yourself to storage is storage and it's going to cost
Yeah.
money, but it's way more worth just hoarding a little bit than to risk losing things, or even just to agonize over what to delete and constantly be
That's
deleting things.
true.
So I just
Right.
wanted to add that in to our conversation.
Think of it as a way of like protecting our mental space and our time, right? That like again, like is our time worth more than the $20?
Yeah,
Absolutely.
like just to meet at
Absolutely.
one lunchtime, and then there's your $20 for the whole year.
Right. One more question I have. So for someone like me who, so I have Google accounts, I have Google Drive, I have Google Workspace. For someone like me that I have all that, but also like I love my, Mac computer and I love having my email set up through that. Do these systems translate to using them like through, the Apple computer, like email? Like, I know I have all my stuff synced. Are there tweaks to make that we can like still kind of apply some of this stuff to? Or is most of this if we are utilizing like on the like Gmail or Google email itself?
Well, if we're just talking about like your Mac mail displaying your
Yeah.
Gmail accounts,
Yeah.
it should just be like same. So a
Yeah.
folder that you created Mac mail, I think creates a label inside of Gmail. And so you really,
Yep.
sh it should just be synchronized. When it comes to files, you can actually download a program that lives on your Mac that you can open your Finder and see your Google files from your Google Drive. So if you Google the words "download Google Drive,"
Okay.
you can download the program, and then you just sign into it with your Google account. And you can, I think, have three or four Google accounts, so you can actually have several of them. They don't take up specific space on your hard drive unless you ask it to, but it makes it a lot easier to store things directly into Google Drive,
Yeah.
because you're not dropping it onto a window, like a browser window. You're just
Yeah.
putting it, you're just navigating to that folder structure within your Finder. Because the thing that always worries me, and I'll like full disclosure, I'm a PC person, I'm not a Mac person. Doesn't mean I don't know quite a bit, because I support so
Sure.
many students in this situation. But the thing that I'm never clear on from the Mac perspective, because I don't use one day in and day out, is like, for example, I do know that all of your files that you save to your desktop literally only live on your desktop. And unless you have some other, I don't know how iCloud would, like whether iCloud saves all of the things on your entire computer or not, or if you have to specifically designate which ones get synchronized. But I always worry in general, and I've just, I've been through so many computers, not because anything has ever failed, but it's like at some point I'm like, oh, it's getting a little slow. And due for an upgrade, and then I upgrade, and it's like, how do you move everything over? Well, you move everything over by it living in the cloud in the first place. So, like about 3, 4 weeks ago, I came to my desk and my computer wouldn't turn on. So, I basically couldn't use my desktop for days. And well, actually, it was like a couple of weeks. And I just switched over to my laptop and it was like smooth transition. Like, there was no downtime at all. There was no loss of data because everything lives in the cloud. So if you can set up your computer to do that, that would be ideal. So I don't, from a Mac perspective, I don't know what that looks like, but certainly knowing that you can put things directly into Google Drive or into whatever the iCloud storage is or Dropbox, like whatever cloud system you have. And by the way, don't be afraid of using more than one. As long as you know where things are, like I use OneDrive and Google Drive, and I just use them for kind of different things. Like all of my administrative things are all inside of OneDrive, and all of my like business, client facing, shared things or Google Docs and stuff are in Google Drive, and I just know where to look.
So, I mean, so much of what you've shared is so practical, so helpful, and I know this is just like just scratching the surface. So, if somebody wanted to like dive deeper into this and to learn more from you, I know you have a couple opportunities for them to do so. One of them is through freebie, but you also have several courses. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, for sure. So let me talk about the freebie first, just because it's so much fun. I named it before I created it, and I called it the Top 40 Time-Saving Google Hacks You'll Wish You'd Been Using All Along. So I love that. And people, like I seriously have thousands of people who have downloaded it, and I get all kinds of people who just love
It's
it. Like
great.
it is. And it's like basically 40 different one a coach of mine called it a recipe card. And it's just like a bulleted, it's like the shortest little thing, but it's like each one of those little recipe cards, you read it and you're like, oh, I didn't know I could do that, or oh, that's how you do that, and then you add that to your repertoire and it saves you time forevermore. So love that. And that one is we set up a separate
So we have a link
domain.
that'll,
It'll be in there, but if anybody's just listening, it's withdara.com/empower, and that will go to Ashley's like it'll give Ashley credit for you having purchased it, but on the thank you page it will offer you access to my bigger course. And by bigger, I don't mean price-wise, because it's only $37 at the time of this recording. And it's called Get Productive with G Suite. And it is 90% for everyone and about 10% for people who use Google Workspace. So there are some lessons that are specifically speaking to Google Workspace users. But it touches on Gmail, Google Drive, Google Chrome, Google Calendar, Google Contacts, Google Keep, and a bunch of other bells and whistles that I just decided to throw in because I love sharing these kinds of tips. And it's an extremely comprehensive course. And the best thing about that course, other than that everybody loves it, is that I also do monthly office hours. It's listed as a bonus. So, I don't know that I'll do them forever, but I have been doing them for about 3 years now. And so every month I pick a day. It's usually a Thursday, approximately first Thursday of the month at the moment. And at 8 a.m. Pacific and 4 p.m. Pacific, I show up twice just so I can capture different time zones. And it's like a free-flowing conversation Q&A where I like screen share and we talk, and either it's like someone comes with a question. They don't have to have gone through the course at all. So it's kind of like access to me, but on a monthly basis. And that's a huge bonus. So all of that for $37 is wild.
You
You
can't beat
mentioned as
that.
well. Yeah, I know. I'm crazy. I just love, I love that it's not, that there's no hesitation. Like it's just such a no-brainer. Yes, I don't have to convince people to buy the thing that will help them. And this helps me with that. And then the LastPass Mastery, which you mentioned. So I have a course all about password management, and it is going to be getting a little bit of an overhaul and an update for anybody who already has it. And of course, anybody who's buying it in the future will get a newer version of it. That I believe is also going to touch on 1Password, but don't hold me to that just yet because I haven't started the new version of it. So password management, I mean, if there's any other thing that like is the bane of most of our
Oh
existence
my
is
gosh,
password
yes.
management. And I'm always focused on like Similar to the tips I was giving about people putting their files into your Google Drive, like I'm always focused on the continuity, like safety, security. Like there's settings inside of LastPass that are like gaping holes. Like they leave you signed into it permanently, which is so makes it so easy for you to forget your password because you never have to type it in. Or if someone sat down at your computer, they could just like it just to me, I don't understand why they don't lock it down a little bit more, make it a little bit harder to get in. But I talk about that in the course. And then I also have courses about Google My Business. So the free business listing that you can have, even if you work from home, you can have a free business listing. So I have Google My Business. And then I have a business expense cash flow calculator, which is a really great exercise to go through because it gets you to list all your monthly and annual expenses and get an actual sense of your financial obligations. It's an exercise that I go through. I used to go through it annually, and lately I actually just fully revamped the calculator in the last couple of months, and I actually have it now open. I have a little group in my Google Chrome. I have several groups of tabs that stay open all the time, and I've just recently added that calculator to my always open tabs so that every time I like either subscribe or unsubscribe from something, that I can keep it updated like right on the spot, because I just like awareness is such a first step in improvement. So yeah, those are like the suite of things that I have at the moment, and all of them are low priced. So it's not I'm not there's I don't have a single thing out there at the moment that's like hundreds of dollars. So
No, and you can't beat this. And I think one of the things that can be, I think, really overwhelming for many entrepreneurs, but I see this, like I experienced this, I see this with other therapists, is like we get started and we're like, okay, I'm gonna have this private practice, so I need to do this and this and this, but like we don't really think about it initially in terms of like how do we create flow or how do we create systems so that it is just easy for us, right? That we're not having to recreate the wheel all the time, or like do five steps when really maybe we could have done it in two. And I think whether you are just starting your practice out or if you've been in practice for 20 years, we can always look and revamp systems and revamp, how we have things organized or created. And this is a great way of doing that, especially. We just don't have a lot of time, outside of our day of sitting in sessions. And, we don't want to be spending hours on administrative stuff or on searching for things. And so I think that's why I love your courses, and I love what you talk about because it's about systemization. It's about streamlining things because our time is valuable, whether it's working in our business or spending time with our family. Like we don't have a limited amount of time, and we don't want to be spending it on stuff that is just going to give us headaches and we don't have to be doing.
Yeah, and I think the something that I always like to highlight is, well, it circles back to the very beginning of our conversation where it's like nothing's a straight line. So, yes, you might be starting a practice today and you have an idea of how things are going to go, and then like who you are today isn't who you're going to be in a year. And so wherever you are in that at that point in time, like this is the version of yourself that you're going to create a system for. And if you're just starting out, sometimes you kind of the system has to find you. Sometimes you have to make a bit of a mess to realize what you need that system to be.
Absolutely.
The other thing that I really focus on in the stuff that I teach is I want every minute that you spend learning something from me to pay you back in time savings. So, and I think that that's a completely, especially in the productivity realm, I think it's a completely valid promise to make, which is like, hey, if you spend time learning how to do this better, you are going to do this better forever from here on. Maybe you're not going to be perfect, but if this saves you time today and tomorrow and the day after, and you spent 10 or 15 minutes learning it, well, yeah, you might have resisted learning it, like setting aside 10 or 15 minutes or an hour or whatever. You might have resisted that, but imagine how much time it's going to pay you back in forever.
For sure. It's not just about now, but it's also about
It
long term.
compounds. Yeah,
Exactly. absolutely, absolutely. Well, we will definitely have linked in the show notes the link to grab that freebie, which will lead people to learn more about the courses you were sharing about. If people want to connect with you beyond that, where can they find you as
I'm
well?
on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. That's pretty much it. And I'm out there. There are actually two Dara Sklars in the world,
Which is
shockingly.
fascinating, yes.
Fascinating. I know. It's like Dara is an uncommon name, Sklar is an uncommon name, and then suddenly there are two of us. I've actually met
Yeah.
her in person. I Googled myself back in 2001 and I was like, what? There's another one of me? Like I
That's
barely ever met
wild.
another Dara in my life, let alone another Dara Sklar. But yeah, you'll look out for me. I'm the one with those cherry blossoms in the background.
And we'll have your links to your Facebook and to your other social media as well in the show notes
Awesome.
too. Dara, thank
Perfect.
you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate you taking the time to share your knowledge and experience with us. And I know listeners are going to get so much out of this episode.
My pleasure. And I think this has been one of my most favorite podcast interviews. I feel like we covered so many good and valuable and actionable things. And I just am like thrilled. So thanks for having me. And I'm glad
That's
this went so
wonderful. That means a lot. Thanks so much.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for listening to the Raise to Empower podcast. Check the show notes for all links and resources mentioned in the show. If you found today's episode helpful or inspiring, be sure to share it with your therapist friends. And don't forget to subscribe to the show and leave your 5-star rating and review. It truly means so much to me and will help us get our message of empowerment out to other women and mom clinicians. And I'd love to connect with you in our Facebook community. So check out the show notes for the link or head to bit.ly/raise to empower to join us. I'll see you back here next week.